Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if you're looking for insider news, videos, photos on the Browns straight from Berea, get the latest on player transactions, draft, and more by visiting ClevelandBrowns.com, the most trusted source for Browns news and the prolific pontificate of ClevelandBrowns.com. Andrew Gribble with me. Andrew, what's up, bro?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing. So you're just on the conference call with Mel Kiper. What did he have to say about the Browns? We'll start there.
Well, you know, in typical kind of Kiper and encyclopedic fashion, he rattled off about five or six different possible names with the Browns. He called them a mystery team because even after all the free agency acquisitions, you know, he's still not sure if that even changes the draft board at all. I'm of the opinion that the board hasn't changed much at all, even with these free agency acquisitions as well. But the first name he mentioned was kind of a surprise one. I thought Brandon Scherff out of Iowa, the offensive tackle, can play guard. But his thing is he doesn't think he'll even be there at number 12 because the Rams could get him at 10. The Giants could get him at number 9. Those are two teams that could use an offensive lineman probably more so than the Browns could. And I think we're of the opinion maybe that would be kind of a stretch at 12 to go for an offensive line, even if he is the best overall player on the board there.
Yes.
But he mentioned – then at 19, he mentioned Breshad Perriman after big pro day yesterday. Jalen Strong as another wide receiver possibility at 19. He just said there's a lot of ways the Browns can go, but ultimately they still got to figure out the quarterback situation.
No, where did he say anything about where he thought Danny Shelton would go in the draft?
He didn't. When he was asked specifically about the Browns, he did not mention Danny Shelton at all.
Did he mention him like going seventh to Chicago?
The time I was listening, he didn't talk about Danny Shelton at all. I don't know if that was by purpose, by design, or it's interesting because I just saw a mock draft from Charles Davis that had Danny Shelton going to the Browns not at 12, but at 19.
Wow.
And that would be a huge drop from what we thought. And now I'm just starting to wonder if we just overreact to the Senior Bowl because he was like the best player there. And, you know, he was the only real first-round talent doing well there. And it seemed like he's kind of – it's gone back, the regress down to maybe where he should have been all along.
The hot topic for the show thus far has been Randy Gregory and the fact that he tested positive for marijuana at the NFL Combine. We've gotten callers. We still want your calls, 216-578-0850. But did Mel Kiper on that conference call make any reference of Randy Gregory and how that positive test will affect his draft status?
Yeah, he said his grade would drop a little, but I don't think it was kind of a massive – he didn't project kind of a massive drop as well. I think Kiper initially is already of the opinion that Dante Fowler is better than Gregory – just straight up as a player. So I think he has Fowler as high as maybe number 3 or number 4 in this draft from that edge rusher. But, you know, I think he initially pegged Gregory to 7 with the Bears. Now he thinks he could go anywhere from 8 to 13, which would put the Browns in that range at number 12 if that was a direction the Browns wanted to go at number 12. It depends on how they evaluate that. But, you know, the key phrase he used with Gregory was, this might be something you use as like a tiebreaker. You know, if you're weighing between Randy Gregory and Shane Ray, this could be something that separates them and you go with Ray because of the lack of off-field issues. I mean, all these players have some kind of off-field issue. I think Gregory already had some
sure.
at Nebraska, so this might not have been a huge surprise. It's my thinking with it is you know you're getting tested. Like, that's the thing. It's like this didn't come by surprise, and this is the ultimate like job interview. I just kind of question. It's not. I question just the judgment there, just to even.
It's awful judgment. Yes.
Yeah. So
it
I mean,
is a
that's
huge lapse.
That's what he'll be a bigger story now than he wanted to be. I mean, Gregory's probably going to be a guy that's at the draft, so this will be something that's chronicled probably pick by pick, especially if he falls way farther than initially thought.
So do you? So Mel Kiper, if he was on the board at 19, would absolutely take him.
Yeah, I would think so. I think he went with between 8 and 13, so I think it would come as a surprise even to Mel Kiper if he fell that far.
What would you take him at 19?
Is this assuming that you didn't go pass rusher at number 12?
Yes. Yeah, so same you got Shelton or a receiver or Scherff or whatever.
I would have to have brought him to the building and at least acknowledge that and talked with him about the incident, felt very comfortable with that, have this kind of signed off by multiple coaches before you go with that decision. But clearly from a pure talent perspective, he would be a steal at 19. But again, that's something that, you know, Browns fans, you know, you've drafted players before that, you know, have had this off-field stuff crop up and then you look kind of silly in hindsight, but like you knew this was happening. So it's just, that is why the draft is truly the most like just toughest thing to ever project because there's so many variables that go
into. I'm more concerned with his size than I am weed.
No,
that's
yeah.
Just me.
Yes.
And we were talking about that earlier. It's just like I think he's now at like 240, 245, which is a decent size, but
yes.
The fact that he mentioned that he was playing as light as 225 in college,
I
like
see a yoked up 255.
Yeah, but it sounds like he can put weight on, which is Mingo has not been able to put weight on.
I just can't believe that Nebraska let him get that light. I mean, he was still obviously making plays, but how does that happen?
You'd be surprised, you know, in season how little you do and how much you lose. You're recovering from week to week. You're studying tape. Your workouts are limited to 30 minutes. At every place I've been in season, Ohio State, San Diego, Green Bay, San Francisco, it's 30 to 45 minutes at 7 o'clock in the morning. How intense are you going to be at 7 o'clock in the morning knowing that you've got an 8-hour workday that includes 4 hours worth of tape and 3 hours worth of practice to follow?
But is it more diet or workout?
Workout.
Like, that. So is there any way, like...
Well, you're burning...
Is this going to be a problem for him throughout his entire NFL career?
I can't say that. I think also, too, is once he finds the right system, maybe he needs to find the Melman diet, you know, and bulk himself up. But I think it just... In some cases... The governing body of you as a collegiate athlete, because you have such a limited opportunity to spend with those coaches at the facility with the strength coach, you just can't willingly go in there and work out all the time. It's against the NCAA rules. Whereas now he's going to be in the hands of a strength coach that's going to be able to give them a system. They're going to be able to give him the proper resources, and he could turn into a gym rat, and they can force feed him as much food as possible, you know, at no cost to him.
Yeah, and this is kind of a different comparison, but I just remember. This is the high school to college transition. I saw Dee Ford go from about like 185 pounds in high school to a solid 240 at Auburn and became just a dominant pass rusher.
Absolutely.
Because of that. But it took like 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
And you wonder
sure.
how long that process would take for Randy Gregory. Would he be someone you can plug in right away as a starter, which we've talked about? If you have two first round picks, you'd hopefully get two starters this season
sure.
from those guys.
Maybe 10 pounds a year.
Listen, the guy, there's no question he would start, I think, if he came in. Some people think he won't go before the third round. I'm telling you, folks, he's going to go before the third round. And if he doesn't, we definitely should take him in the third round.
If Mel Kiper is saying 8 to 13, I'm going to, you know, in Mel, I trust. I mean, this guy's been covering the draft for a long time.
I give Mel a 10-pick buffer. So if he's saying 8 to 13, I'm going 18 to 23rd. Is the latest I could see him go.
EN Sports Matt says, you kidding? If all the top three wide receivers on the board, I would take him at 12. There are some people who have said that they want him, they would take him at 12. They think he's that good of a talent, regardless of the off-the-field issues. 216-578-0850. Let's get a call in here before we wrap up with the Gribs for this segment. He'll be with us all the way up until 2 o'clock. We've got Hiram in Cleveland. Hiram, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I had to comment about Randy Gregory. Let me first say this about him. If I was interested in him and I thought he was going to be the player that the people say he was, would be, I would take him at 12, too, with no issues, after I bring him to the facility, sit down with him, go over everything.
Yep.
And saying that, I'm not a Randy Gregory fan, and I'm not a Danny Shelton fan either, but that's a story for another time. I just think there are other players that are better. I like Bud Dupree a lot better than Randy Gregory. But I think Mike Pettine has the right attitude of Cleveland is a very conservative area. This is a very conservative region, and he has the right attitude. You got to take these things case by case situations, and you just can't say, well, you can't win with just all choir boys. You got to take it by a case, and some guys are gonna pan out, and some guys aren't, and you know, just leave it like that.
I think it'd be very difficult for us to not hit in this first round again after the question marks surrounding Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert's performance thus far in their career in the National Football League.
So I think you got to stay true to your board and get the guy, talented guys
Correct.
That you can. But
Correct.
If he is on your board,
I agree.
As a top five guy, and he's there at 12 or he's there at 19, you got to take him.
Yeah, if we're looking at history as our guide as well, a couple of years ago, Drake Kirkpatrick didn't fail a drug test at the combine, but he got arrested for marijuana like in that January range right before the combine. He still went in the first round. I don't know if he maybe went a little lower than people.
And now it's even
thought.
Less of a deal, though, because you can still fail two more tests before you're even taken off the field, even assuming that you enter in stage one.
Yeah, and another player that I think it was something at the combine was Timmy Jernigan. I think he still went in the first round, if not early in the second or something like that. So this is not new, but I guess maybe Gregory is maybe the most high profile player we've seen in a while have something like this happen. And I guess the tough thing for him, if we're looking to see a potential drop, is because of how many good pass rushers there are in this draft. And like Kuiper said, this could be used as a tiebreaker against him. And I guess it's going to come down to a team who really does think he's that much better of a player than one of these other guys who are considered top 15 potential picks.
Let's go to Dan in Alliance now. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. I would take Gregory absolutely at 12. Man, like the last caller said, it's not made up of choir boys, and I'm sure that you can write stuff into his contract for things not being detrimental to the team. And pass rusher is definitely something that the Browns need to consider. They also need to consider tight end. They also need to consider a return guy. Fair catching is all we did last year, and something has to be addressed with that. So I don't know. You don't pick that first round, but, they got to look at it sometime.
They do, and I think they will address that as this draft goes on. Perhaps one of the receivers or two of the receivers they draft will be able to fill that role as a return person for the Browns. When we come back, keep these phone lines going. You guys are into it. Randy Gregor, we'll talk with Matt Miller at 2 o'clock about him. We'll talk with Charlie Casserly, the former NFL GM, at 2:30 about him and about the Browns, their offseason, etc. when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So I could say that, but I know that you're going to be okay anyway.